This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I am Christine Wong. Now, sometimes success comes with a lot of stress, with a lot of issues, and you forget how to be happy at the same time, right? And it's not always easy to listen to that sort of advice without feeling patronized. So sometimes you actually have to think about it in a non-traditional sense. Today, I'm here with Alex Butt, who is an entrepreneur, executive coach, and also brand new author, to talk about his book, which is called A CEO, An Entrepreneur, A Tourist, and The Monk. So just to give the listeners a bit of background on you, you were with Microsoft before, but now you've kind of shifted into doing some more independent stuff, and now you've written and released this new book. And this is an interesting thing because usually here on Raise Your Game, we do talk about books a lot, but they tend to be quite guide-esque instructions or ideas or concepts. And this is actually a story book, essentially. This is a book that is a narrative and is technically quote-unquote fiction. It is about these three characters who are a CEO, an entrepreneur, and a tourist, and they meet a monk, and they basically figure out a lot of concepts and problems that they have in their lives. So let's clarify something right now. Despite the fact that they do meet a monk, and there are some kind of Buddhist ideas and teachings within the book, I was curious because this is still geared towards entrepreneurs. It's still geared towards providing business knowledge, right? So how does something that is spiritual connect with the business world?
You know, Christine, this is a great question. The book is actually, underlying it, is about change. It's about transforming oneself. And as each of you relate to the four characters, the CEO, the entrepreneur, the tourist, and the monk, at some point in your life, you're actually going through a transformation. So that being said, you could be one of the four characters now. But, you know, some of you may not think that you're a monk. But the monk actually do represent the spiritual realism of an individual. While we look at on the surface, these are four characters that we can relate to in business life, in spiritual life. They actually personify four things in our life that takes us away from happiness and success. The CEO actually personifies greed and excessiveness, where we keep doing and wanting more and more and never know when to stop. And so the story around Charles, the CEO, personifies ourselves gaining more and don't know how much more money do we need before we retire. The entrepreneur actually represents desires, represents the things that we want to make us feel alive, climb a mountain, run the marathon, and then we say, oh, this is great. But that is looking outward for stimuli or stimulus to make us feel alive. So that's desire. And in many cases, it could also be anger that we are not happy with the imperfection of the world. So one is greed, one is anger and desire. And the tourist represents delusion. We think that everything we do today is going to make us one way or another happy, unhappy. The things we do for our mom, our father, and they'll be happy. In many cases, they're not. So the delusion of thinking that we're always doing something will get us there. When we reach there, we realize it's not true. So that's what delusion is. The monk represents kind of the ultimate sense of happiness and wisdom. And so the meaning of these four characters is what we will encounter at some stage of our life. And so I wrap it around a story to make it easier to read. Underlying it is a transformation inside each of us, whether now or later, whether it's now greed and or later is about, you know, wanting happiness but never got it, as what you said. And the story hopefully gives you a guide to find your own happiness.
See, that was actually something I was about to ask you, you know, because as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the books that we discuss on Raise Your Game kind of cut straight to the point and they just not tell you what to do, but they do give you advice or they focus on certain concepts, that sort of thing. But why did you decide to write a story instead of just like a straightforward guide or how-to?
Well, first and foremost, a year ago, I had gone through a major transformation myself and I became a monk for 44 days. I wasn't a religious person or comply to any religious definition. Being a monk was major change. And I did it because I wanted to just empty everything I have in my life and look at things very different perspective. And so the process went through. After I came out from monkhood, I discovered something. I discovered a way to escape from this delusional world and be happy. So I started writing. And of course, being a CEO or entrepreneur, as I have always been and still am, I started writing a how-to book. Finish it in a month, and I read it. I said, pretty good. A few people like it. And one day I was in Prague around the time in September. In the middle of the morning, I woke up at 5 o'clock and meditated. and a story started to form in my head. A story of me and many people who came out to be the character of a CEO. And it started to play in my head. Of course, it messed up my entire meditation, which is supposed to be non-thinking and so on and so forth. But the story was playing, and I stopped at 6 o'clock, started writing, and I presented to a group of business friends, and I said, this is what my book will look like version 2 compared to a day ago when I presented to them version 1, which they like. They said, this is better. And I started writing it, not knowing whether I could write fictional stuff because I could write instructional stuff. It turns out that things somehow was in my favor, maybe because my monkhood emptied a lot of my pre-conditioned and assumptions. I found an editor who read my first chapter and said, oh, that's interesting. That's not your profile. And he said, write 2 more. And I submitted 2 more. And he said, write the rest of the book. And reading it now, after a few months, the feedback I received from people that it is a readable book, it is not too pushy, not too religious, not too spiritual. And there's some business element in this. In the last few chapters, I introduced a few models where people can take back and do prioritizations of their life. So I still have a little bit of a CEO injected in the book to want people to take away with some framework of working in a business.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's actually a way to practice what I call spiritualism, which is the things that's not material, not physical. And so spiritualism is not religious. It is about love. It's about compassion. It's about being kind. And if you look at all form of religion, they all say the same thing about not be jealous. Don't be envious of others. In fact, rejoice the success of even your competitor. And so the underlying part of this, my discovery is, it's not a Buddhism book. It is actually a spiritual book where it cuts across every other religion that talks about this.
So you distinctly had these kind of four characters, the CEO, the entrepreneur, the tourist, and the monk. And you also do shift things towards a business angle later on. We'll talk a bit more about those concepts, like the life in-depth inventory and results pathway a little bit later. But even though these characters are supposed to be representatives of these concepts, as you discussed earlier, like greed, anger, delusion, and so on and so forth, you have created very, very specific kind of backstories for these characters. There's a lot of mentions of very small details about their lives that usually, you know, authors don't put into, you know, something that is supposed to be kind of guiding. So I'm curious to know, were the characters based on, you know, people in your life? And you mentioned that the CEO especially kind of resonated with your life and stuff like that. So what was the process of creating those specific characters?
Well, I wanted to put in real life situation that I had encountered that actually transformed people. And that's why I wrote it that way. Now, some of those are me, and you can't tell which is me and which is not me. But it gave me a sense of a little bit of authority because I lived through all of them, including being a monk. So I felt confident in writing them and also confident in helping other people as a coach. So I put them together to make this a story.
You know, I think that's what makes the book so effective, is because you will find something to connect to in each character, regardless of who you are and where you are in your life as a person. There is something to actually be said for every character being sort of relatable in some way, shape, or form. And it will be different for everybody, I think, as well. So that's really interesting. It is time now for a break, but after that, I will continue speaking to Alex Butt about the concepts in his book that could be useful for business. So stay tuned to Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9 to hear more on that.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
This is Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and today I'm speaking to Alex Butt, who is a new author as well as an entrepreneur and executive coach, and he has written a book called A CEO, An Entrepreneur, A Tourist, and The Monk. And earlier we were talking about the characters in the book and kind of how they were created, why a narrative was written in the first place instead of like a guide and stuff like that. But now I want to talk a bit more about the content of the book, because you actually explore some interesting concepts and some models that people can use to reprioritize the things in their life and achieve that sort of balance between success and happiness as well. So, you know, what are some of these concepts that you explore in the book?
So, good. Life inventory was introduced as a more of a life priority setting exercise. Often we go on with life, either knowingly or unknowingly, just trudge along, keep the cycle going. But what is the real priority in our life? How do we sort out what it really means to us? And hopefully you don't have to go through some major death experience to realize that you've been in the wrong path. So the life inventory exercise is a simple exercise I've been running with many groups. It's asked you what you own, what you like to do, what relationship you have, and what kind of roles you have been playing in your current life. And pick 3 or 4. not 10 or 20. And it's hard. So to ask someone to pick a list of life inventory, which is all the assets you have, and narrow it down to three, where you will carry this to the end of your last breath, your last life.
Mm-hmm.
And forcing that exercise, forcing that function, help someone really play through what is most meaningful to me. And that exercise I've run with so many executives that they finally realize that 80% of the time they're spending doing everything else except the three things they have consciously picked. And so I introduced that with Antonio, the entrepreneur who's always wanting to create something. And he ended up in a story that he found his own, what we call the triple gems, which is his three most important priorities in his life. And the next thing is, let's focus on making that happen. A lot of people don't. First, they don't know what they are. Second, even though they know, they end up still doing a bunch of other things except these things. And so I want to introduce it. And I do run workshop on such exercises outside of the book. And that's what I did.
Yeah, I think a lot of, I guess, what we would call kind of self-help or motivational sort of books tend to focus a lot more on the mental aspect of things, and they tend to be very cognitive. It's about, you know, doing certain exercises, writing stuff down, or reprioritizing your schedule, all that stuff. And this is, you know, something that really reaches to the emotional part of things. And I think that's really interesting that you've brought that up as a very big kind of catalyst to actual change, you know, actual transformation of the person and their mindset. A lot of what you said is kind of focusing on the kind of introspective. It's about understanding who you are and what in your life you need to prioritize, and then to understand how to do them and to go and do those things. And one thing that I noticed in the book as well is that you talk a lot about this concept of mindfulness. Now, mindfulness gets kind of thrown about, I think, as a sort of weird psychological buzzword in a lot of books. And, you know, it's almost become something that people are a bit like, oh, like, we hear so much about mindfulness, but we don't actually understand what it means. So what exactly does that concept mean to you? And how does that help in a kind of business perspective?
Yeah, Christine, it's interesting you brought up mindfulness. In fact, Apple recently just announced that a popular app, I'm not advocating any, that is called Calm, that has been really, really popular. And the whole app on mindfulness is such a big trend these days. And yet, do you really know what mindfulness is? And mindfulness is, it itself is a noun. It's just a word. But actually, mindfulness by itself has no meaning. You have to associate mindfulness actually with an activity. For example, mindfulness of eating, mindfulness of talking, mindfulness of breathing. And in that statement or in the sentence, then it brings content to the meaning of mindfulness. And mindfulness simply means being aware of what you're doing and being conscious that there's impermanence in what you're doing. So for example, if I'm eating something really, really, really good, I'm mindful that I'm eating, you know, roti canai. And I'm mindful that the feeling I get, so there's an object of mindfulness that you're aware of. There's that feeling that object brings you. And there's an interpretation of the feeling. Oh, I feel satisfied. It reminds me of childhood. So the feeling and the interpretation of feeling is the second and the third stage of mindfulness. And the last one is a mindfulness of that process of going through that eating. And so if someone is mindful of something they're doing, it's the object, it's the feeling it invoke, it's the interpretation of it and the process. And when you have the completion of all four, you are a lot more mindful than just eating the thing. And so mindfulness in that concept is that, and it can apply to anything. It can apply to sitting down talking to you, Christine, that I'm in this amazing studio and it makes me feel a little bit, you know, happy because I used to do a lot of radio show, but now I don't do anymore. But I'm also a bit nervous as my interpretation. But I'm also mindful that there's a process that I'm also sharing in my book. So that's I call mindfulness. And some people say mindfulness is being present. Yeah, it is. What I just said is actually now. Instead of just thinking the past or working about what happened tomorrow, mindfulness is awareness of the present as described by the four stages of it, and just know that this is what it is now because it's impermanent, it will change.
So I guess it's sort of like a practiced awareness of where you are right now.
It is.
Okay. So how does that then correlate to, you know, how could you apply that? As you said, you could apply that to a lot of things. So how would you apply that to a kind of business perspective?
Fantastic. I like that. I like that. So let's say I'm going with a customer or working on a deal, mindfulness, being aware, is to be able to see the perspective of the deal, of the customer needs, of the and how you make them feel when I come up with these products. And I need to think about whether it's driven by intention of making a lot of money or intention of making someone's life better. So in that sense, if you look at it from mindfulness, seeing it, feeling it, and kind of awareness, aware of your thinking and the interpretation of what you're doing itself is mindful. And the last one is you need to be able to know that the situation with competition or with product or consumer need requirement could change. And so there's awareness of impermanence. And so if you have these four elements in anything you do, whether it's an employee that you're hiring or product you're releasing, it will make the whole thing a bit more holistic, so-called. Mm. And so that's called mindful, being mindful of doing business with someone.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. You know, I think that this has been a bit of an atypical Raise Your Game show. I think this has gotten a bit real, right? So thank you so much for sharing all of that with us and sharing your personal journey and all of those kind of emotions and stuff. I think that for people who are a little bit, you know, skeptical or hesitant about it, it's just another way of just being self-aware and another way of, you know, kind of getting to grips with yourself a little bit and learning what is really prioritizing for you in your life. So yeah, if you have missed any of this interview, this was Christine Wong talking to Alex Butt about his book, A CEO, An Entrepreneur, A Tourist, and The Monk. You can download the BFM app and listen to the podcast. You can download it as well. You can re-listen to it on our website too, bfm.my. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to this. This has been Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Coming up next is The Bigger Picture. So stay tuned to BFM 89.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.